Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
In our global world, traveling great distances is quite common, be it for professional commitments, including sports and arts, be it for leisure. People travel all over the world. Traveling also plays a significant role in the lives of people engaged in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul and some companions covered major distances to evangelize and build up believers in the faith. In this study, we would like to focus on part of the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul and his work companions. The book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 1 to 6, report the following. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Paul and his co-worker Silas came to Derbe, about 60 miles from Lystra, a border town in the southeastern part of Galatia. Paul and Barnabas had been in Derbe on their first missionary journey. Now from Derbe, Paul and Silas went to Lystra, a Roman colony, about 20 miles from Iconium and 130 miles from Antioch. In Lystra, they met a young man called Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer. Both mother Eunice and grandmother Lois brought Timothy up in the Christian faith. Timothy's father was a Greek and a non-believer. In the years when the Jews were dispersed, marriages between Jews and Greeks were common. When Paul met Timothy, he must have been in his teens, because Paul spoke of him as a young man. Timothy was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. An extraordinary example of a young man. Paul thought Timothy was a potential candidate for the ministry, so he wanted to take him along on the journey to teach him. But first he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. Having a Greek father, the boy had not been circumcised as it was the practice among the Jews. Although the Church of Jerusalem had decided in council not to require circumcision as a matter of necessity for salvation, Paul circumcised Timothy so that he would not become a reason of offense to the Jews. When circumcision was alleged to be a requirement for salvation, Paul refused to circumcise. Here Paul treats circumcision as an acceptable practice to facilitate outreach to the Jews. If circumcision is a legalistic requirement, it must be resisted. But as a matter of Christian freedom, it may be practiced in ways beneficial to the faith. Traveling from town to town, Paul and Silas delivered the decisions reached by the Church of Jerusalem. By the proclamation of the gospel, the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in number. This is an encouraging example for Christians and churches today. Whenever the gospel is proclaimed, results are produced. Now let us accompany Paul and his working companions in the next leg of the missionary journey. We read in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul, Silas, and Timothy went throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Their aim was to go to Asia, that is, a Roman province including the Hellenistic districts of Mysia, Lydia, Carla, and parts of Phrygia. But then appears a surprising note. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Continuing the journey, Paul and his companions arrived in Mysia, in the northwest part of the province of Asia, and attempted to go to Bithynia, a senatorial province in the east of Mysia. Again, surprisingly, it is said, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go to Bithynia. Immediately we tend to ask, why did the Holy Spirit bar the messengers of good news to go to those places? Isn't it God's desire to proclaim salvation everywhere? Yes, God wants all people to be saved. However, He knows best than we do when it comes to establish plans and traveling routes. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 reminds us, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." God must have had very good reasons to deter Paul from going to certain places. Many times Paul's own travel plans did not work out as he intended. This is a testimony to the fact that mission work belongs to the Lord, and He directs it. Furthermore, this event also teaches us a good lesson. The lesson is that it is wise to add to our planning the note, "if God wills." Eventually, Paul and his companions reached Troas. Troas was a Roman colony and an important seaport for connections between Macedonia and Greece on the one hand, and Asia Minor on the other. Later, Paul returned to Troas, and a church was started there. In Troas, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. This was one of the ways in which God gave direction to His messenger. In the vision, Paul saw a man of Macedonia. The man urged Paul, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Ancient Macedonia corresponds in our days to northern Greece. It had become a Roman province in the year 148 BC. Whereas earlier God was directing Paul where not to go, now God is telling Paul where he should go. At this point of the narrative, it seems that Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, joined Paul, Silas, and Timothy in their journey. The text reads, "We sought to go on into Macedonia." The conclusion Paul and his companions came to from the vision was that God had called them to preach the gospel to the Macedonians. This might have been the first time the gospel moved from Asia onto the continent of Europe. How significant this is! Jesus commanded His church, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Thankfully, the gospel is reaching us wherever in the world we are, and we are greatly benefiting from it. At the same time, we are called to advance the gospel by all honest means available. Lutheran Radio UK is one of the channels by which the gospel of Jesus Christ travels around the globe, aiming to reach many people. You can be an instrument in this respect, encouraging people of your relations to listen and to support this radio station. The missionary man moved on from Troas to several other places, according to Acts chapter 16, verses 11 to 15. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. From Troas, Paul and his companions sailed to Samothrace, an island in the northeastern Aegean Sea. It was a convenient place for boats to anchor, rather than risk sailing at night. The next day, they sailed to Neapolis, modern Kavala, that was the seaport for Philippi. Then they went to Philippi, a city in the eastern Macedonia named after Philip II, father of Alexander the Great. Philippi was a Roman colony where many retired legionaries from the Roman army settled, but few Jews. Paul and his team stayed several days in Philippi. On the Sabbath, they went outside the city gate to the river, where they expected to find a place of prayer. There was a small number of Jews in Philippi, and for this reason no synagogue. So the Jews met for prayer along the banks of the Ganges River. It was customary for such places of prayer to be located outdoors near running water. Paul and his companions shared the gospel with the women gathered there. Women were the only worshippers of God present on this occasion. Among the listeners was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. She was a businesswoman. Her name may be associated with her place of origin, the Hellenistic district of Lydia. She was from Thyatira, a Roman province of Asia, famous for its dyeing works, especially royal purple. Lydia was a Gentile who believed in the true God. However, she had not become a full convert to Judaism. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying. The Holy Spirit worked in the heart of Lydia, and she responded to the gospel. Lydia and the members of her household were baptized. It is commonly noticed in the book of Acts that baptism is granted immediately and is bestowed on the entire household. Household included children and servants. Lydia offered hospitality to Paul and his missionary team. Hospitality is one of the fruits of faith. Lydia's home likely became a gathering place for the Philippian believers. Paul began his work in Philippi through Lydia. At times, Christians may feel isolated from worship and fellowship. Yet God opens the hearts of people to believe, provides others who are faithful to the Lord, and binds them together in homes and families.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere, and newcomers are always welcome.
While Paul and his companions were on the way to the place of prayer, an interesting event took place. This is reported in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 18. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. The girl had a spirit of divination, a demonic spirit. By that spirit, the girl predicted the future. To what extent she actually predicted, we don't know. Since the girl was a slave, she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. The girl followed Paul, Silas, and others. The spirit in the girl cried out that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were servants of the Most High God who proclaimed the way of salvation. The title Most High God was commonly used by persons possessed by an evil spirit. It was a common title among both Jews and Greeks. But the title is not used of God in the New Testament by Christians or Jews. Here we note that even demonic spirits acknowledge God as the one who saves, although they don't believe in Him. In Jesus' ministry, the demons recognized God's presence at work and were driven to respond. Since the spirit in the girl kept crying out for many days, Paul became so annoyed that he ordered the spirit in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of the girl. God's power was at work through the apostle. Not everybody was happy with what happened to the girl. The owners of the girl reacted strongly, according to the report in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 19 to 24. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Since from that time onward the girl did not earn money for her owners, they became infuriated. Paul and Silas were seized and dragged into the marketplace before the rulers. The rulers were apparently overseeing the buying and selling that took place at the city's main place of commerce. Paul and Silas were charged guilty of disturbing the city and advocating customs considered unlawful by the Romans. If a religion failed to receive Roman approval, it was considered illegitimate. Judaism had legal recognition, but Christianity did not have at that point in time. Furthermore, the apostles spoiled the business of some citizens. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, supporting the owners of the slave girl. Who would now tell them their fortune? Paul and Silas were stripped off their garments till the waist and beaten with rods bound in a bundle. So Paul and Silas were exposed to public shame and punished severely. Then they were thrown into prison, that is, into the inner cell for extra security and torture. Special measures of security were taken. A guard was set to watch them carefully, and their feet, stretched apart as far as possible, were fastened in the stocks. Over the centuries, Christians have been exposed to public shame, treated unfairly, punished, and even killed. The unbelieving world sees Christianity as a means by which business can be spoiled, superstitious beliefs are refrained, ethics are changed, and people are robbed from their freedom. Believers who do God's will, even when striving to help others, can expect mistreatment and abuse from the world. However, God is with His children to protect, to defend, and to comfort them. This is precisely what we find in the development of the events according to Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Paul and Silas did not complain in prison. Rather, about midnight they prayed and sang hymns to God. They gave testimony to Christ while in the most dreadful conditions. What an inspiring response to harsh mistreatment. And there was a congregation of prisoners listening to Paul and Silas. God looked after his servants and intervened through such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Although men chain messengers of the gospel, God's power cannot be chained. The doors of the prison were opened, and the chains around arms and legs of Paul and Silas fell off. The jailer was taken by surprise and became terrified. After all, he was responsible for keeping the prisoners securely in the cell. In despair, the jailer drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. If a prisoner escaped, the life of the guard was demanded in his place. To take his own life would shorten the shame and distress. God, however, spared the life of the jailer through the intervention of Paul, who shouted, "Don't harm yourself, for we are all here." Through this unexpected news, the jailer called for lights because he wanted to see what had happened. When he saw Paul and Silas, he trembled with fear before them, brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The jailer had heard that these were preachers of a way of salvation. Now, with the earthquake and with the approach of his own death, he wanted to know about the way. Then comes the answer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." This is a summary of the way of salvation: faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus, who died on the cross and rose victoriously from the grave, saves indeed. Paul and Silas explained the word of the Lord to the jailer and to all others in his house. A Bible class took place right there, not only for the jailer, but for all the members of his household. All believed in Christ and were saved. And then they were baptized as a pledge of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Immediately we notice fruits sprouting from faith. The jailer washed the wounds of God's servants, brought them into his house, and set a meal before them. Truly amazing. Faith expresses itself in deeds of kindness and in joy. Joy is a consequence of conversion, regardless of circumstances. What happened next to Paul and Silas? Listen to Acts chapter 16, verses 35 to 40. "But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, 'Let those men go.' And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore come out now and go in peace.' But Paul said to them, 'They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out.' The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them. And they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed." The news of the events reached the magistrates, who ordered the release of Paul and Silas. Paul, however, had an objection. There were things to be dealt with. Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. As such, they had certain rights which had been denied to them. Magistrates could punish non-Roman citizens without proper legal proceedings, but could not do so with Roman citizens. Public beating for a Roman citizen would have been illegal, let alone beating without a trial. The city officials could now be in trouble. The only way out for the magistrates was to apologize to Paul and Silas and release them from prison. That's what happened. Once freed, Paul and Silas went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Mutual support and encouragement are always necessary, especially in times of hardship. Then Paul and Silas left. God put his protecting and liberating hand on his messengers in an extraordinary way. The way Paul and Silas conducted themselves in adversity, praying and singing hymns to God, stands as a great example for us. God's people today can respond to mistreatment with a powerful testimony of prayer and praise to God. Faith in Jesus Christ is active and expresses itself in joy and deeds of love.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.